From the window of his suite overlooking the Greenbrier's north entrance, Mordecai Oakes surveyed the formal garden bursting with spring colors 5 stories below. There were some advantages to being a paraplegic, he considered. One was that the hotels tended to give him superior accommodations like this. Rooms that looked like they were reserved for visiting heads of state. He hadn't expected such regal treatment. He was just a professional loudmouth. Well, he was a commentator for Fox News, pretty much the same thing. Oddly, the hit and run that had confined him to a wheelchair 3 years earlier had turbocharged his media career. Before that fateful day, he was just a naysaying weatherman, railing against the notion that human-induced climate change was an established scientific fact. Now he was the Stephen Hawking of climate change denial, delivering his unvarnished contrarian opinions from a high-tech wheelchair. The conservatives thought he was a prophet. The environmentalists thought he was a pompous ass. All he knew was that he was worth a lot more than he used to be, thanks to his media exposure and his book deals. The American Meteorological Association had invited him to their convention at this grand southern resort to debate Hayes Hancock, a liberal firebrand whose Chicken Little views on global warming echoed those held by most of the AMA members. They were billing this little confrontation as the Great Climate Change Debate. But since his peers seemed to have closed minds on the subject, he knew his real job was entertaining them. They were expecting him to serve as Hancock's punching bag and toss out a few zingers while he was being pummeled. His chance of being declared the winner of this sham battle was about the same as General Custer's at Little Bighorn. He was used to entertaining groups that wanted their prejudices reinforced. Conservative think tanks, Republican PACs, coal and oil execs. Addressing his professional brethren on climate change was going to be a challenge. He planned to use his opening statement to take them on a little historical journey and point out some of the wildly erroneous facts scientists used to accept without question. Hopefully they'd get the point. Just because a bunch of elitist eggheads share a rosy consensus about something, it doesn't mean it's true. He rolled over to the antique writing desk where he'd been jotting miscellaneous one-liners in his notebook. He made a note to point out that in 2007, Mr. Inconvenient Truth himself, Al Gore, had predicted that by 2013 there wouldn't be any ice left at the North Pole. The last time he checked, there were still a few cubes. He had stayed in more than his fair share of hotels, but the Greenbrier was refreshingly different. An elegant jewel tucked in the West Virginia mountains, the resort's gleaming white exterior gave no clue to the extravagant burst of color inside. He'd learned that during a 1950s makeover, the hotel had given free rein to Dorothy Draper, a wildly creative New York designer. Her affinity for bold colors and mismatched patterns prefigured the psychedelic 60s, but somehow looked tastefully stylish. Over the decades, her signature decor had become synonymous with this one-of-a-kind property. Following the designer's death in 1969, her acolyte, Carlton Varney, had turned embellishing on his mentor's style into his own lifelong project.